This is a HeadGum Podcast.
Welcome back to Buckets, Lakers, Celtics. I mean, just a classic NBA Finals. Let's talk about it with Billy Scafuri.
You're getting bucket buckets.
And the Knicks.
The Knicks are in it too?
The rare Royal Rumble Finals.
Oh my God. A one-on-one-on-one. Holy smokes.
This is the matchup Adam Silver wanted.
Yes.
Right?
They wanted Denver versus Miami, a completely new franchise to the NBA Finals. You got the Miami demographic. You got the Mountain Time Zone. It has it all.
The Mountain Time Zone. The time zone that Adam Silver is most concerned about. Not the East.
Do you care about ratings and stuff like that, or it doesn't really bother you?
Not really. I've worked on television shows where I've cared about ratings, yeah. But what do I care? I only care that I'm watching the finals. I don't care who else is, honestly.
Yeah. I always say I'm going to look up the ratings just out of curiosity, and then it's like, I don't remember like what last year got and what this
right.
year will get, and just one will say 11 million, one will say 8, and I'm like, all right, that all seems fine-ish to me.
But it was funny how on our text chain with Golden State Warriors fans as well, like, you guys, the Lakers fans and the Warriors fans, got into such a... We've, like, talked about and, like, talked shit about so many things. We're now down to, well, how many ratings does your games usually pull?
Exactly.
Because that came up.
Yeah.
That came up.
And like,
so it does matter
in
moments.
Yeah, but when did your tip off? Like, that is 7:30 better than 5?
But, yeah, when I hear Bill Simmons talk about, like, well, that got a 6.9 share, I tune out.
Yeah.
And... we're doing that right now, so yeah. Maybe we should move on.
all right, so yes, the Lakers lost in 4. The Celtics lost in 7 since we spoke last. I don't know if we've spoken after Miami beat the Knicks, too.
No, we didn't. In fact, once the conference finals were set, I was like, hey, maybe we should do a Buckets. And you're like, let's wait for something meaningful to happen, and then we'll hop in.
Yeah.
And then one of them just happened really fast, and there was nothing really to talk about.
Yeah, the sweep.
Yes, and then the other one was the spiritual opposite, which was just like a dogfight for 7 games, and there was no clear moment to be like, now's the time we should talk about it.
I guess now's the time we should talk about it.
And here we are.
So yeah, I guess real quickly, the Lakers series. I thought it was a very competitive sweep.
Correct.
Like, the Lakers were pretty much in all 4 games, but the difference being Denver had some young, fresh closers in the games, and the Lakers looked a little tired and beat up when it was time to come winning time.
My 2 takeaways from the Lakers, just from a player standpoint, was it was very frustrating to watch LeBron be calculated in his decisions. And of course, it did lead to like great numbers and stuff, but like him being the passer for the first quarter was driving me a little crazy.
Yeah.
And then the second one was D'Angelo Russell was doing that for all 16 quarters of the series.
Yeah, D'Lo, who was great against the Warriors and probably one of the reasons we won some of those games. He had some like really good shooting games against Golden State, did not have any good shooting games against the Nuggets. And when you're playing the better team, you got to like outperform expectations. And the Lakers came up a little short. I felt like it was a 4-2 series in disguise, but the Nuggets were definitely the better team.
When we watched the Lakers clinch and make it to the conference finals, you whispered to me, Nuggets in 5.
Yeah, and I was overestimating the Lakers, it turns out.
Yeah. Now, this is like a big rust versus rest thing real quick. I don't mean to just blow past the Eastern Conference, but sitting for like a week and change definitely makes it a little difficult to come back with that same intensity, right?
For
the Nuggets?
I went to the last Nuggets game. That's how long it's been. And I feel like
Jesus
that was
Christ.
3.5 months ago.
That was such a... So now imagine going back to layup lines if you're Aaron Gordon and being like, oh yeah, right. No, we're still playing.
Like, yeah, Jokic could have literally gone to Serbia for a week, come back, and still had 3 days of... Like, it's got to be helpful, right? Like, just to have a week and a half off. And then
if you have a twisted ankle,
compare that to like a Miami team that's coming in off of a very intense game 7.
Yeah. So that's let's talk about the Eastern Conference Finals real quick.
Okay.
And then we'll talk about what we think.
Okay.
Did you enjoy it?
Yes, I did enjoy it. I thought, I was rooting against Boston because it's always
Me
fun
too.
When Boston loses.
Agreed.
Game 6 was probably one of the most memorable basketball games I've ever seen.
The ending was one of 2, I would say, the other one being the Kawhi ending.
Yeah.
When he made that shot, it was like, what am I seeing? Is this really real?
Like a team about to go home to a team playing game 7 at home is a sliding doors insane. Like that putback changed countless lives.
Dude, it's just incredible. And I mean, it had the same spirit as we talked about when Jimmy knocked out the Bucks on that insane alley-oop. That was like a cross-court inbounds pass that he catches.
Oh my God. Wait, what did that just happen?
People can do that kind of energy. But like, so everyone talks about the three-pointer that was originally a two, then got challenged, then time got put back on the clock, then Derek White caught the offensive rebound after he made the inbounds pass. But I think you brought up something very interesting when we were playing basketball, like the day after. You were like, but how did Miami even get back into it in the first place? They were down like 10 with two to go.
Yeah, I'm like, all I remember is Duncan Robinson missing threes.
Yes.
And they came back from down 10. So I'm like, what? I vaguely remember Jimmy Butler making a three, and I'm like, holy shit, where did that come from? I guess Duncan Robinson made a three at one point, and then
but
Jimmy
10 points is a lot.
Yeah, 10 points is a lot. I like when I blinked, I'm like, oh, Miami's now up one. They were stealing that game.
I fed my dog. That's how much time it took. I left the room. I fed my dog. I came back and I heard Stan Van Gundy say something to the effect of, was his foot on the line? I was like, how could that sentence even be relevant? It's 10 points. And I looked and he was shooting for the win.
For the win. And he made all three.
Yeah. Then we go to game seven. And first play of the game, first drive of the game, Tatum twists his ankle.
Yeah, instantly. Game over.
Karma. I don't know karmically how it works, but that felt like some sort of karma.
Yeah, the Celtics aren't good enough to overcome that.
Yeah.
Especially because the second best player can't go left, evidently. That's now the driving narrative on Twitter. I don't know if you saw that highlight package of like, make Jaylen Brown go left.
Yes, I saw somebody the night before that Twitter thread came out, and they were like, have you noticed that Jaylen Brown cannot go left? And I was like, well, everyone has their dominant hand and offhand. And they were like, no, he can't go left. And I was like, all right, we'll see about that. And then the next day, the social media narrative was, look at all of these clips where he dribbles left and falls. Yeah. Dribbles left and falls.
Dribbles left and just throws the ball forward into traffic. You're like, oh, yes. He actually can't dribble with his left hand.
Right. He's going to get $60 million from the Boston Celtics next year.
That'd be fun if he gets max money, $295 million over 4 or 5 years or something.
Love that. For him. Well deserved. Who needs a left? But that brings us to the finals.
Correct.
Yeah.
Miami.
It really is.
Overperforming. They've been underdogs every series.
I think it's a great matchup. I mean, Denver beat you with four quarters of like demolishing offense. Like their offense just didn't slow down. And Miami just chokes you to death. Yeah. Like they never just like, even if they're down 15, they're going to come back.
Yeah.
You know? So there is something like really two different fighting styles getting in the ring together for this game.
And it's like number one in the West versus number eight in the East.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Your heart? Not your mind, not your brain, your heart.
My heart says Jimmy Butler can continue making magic happen and pull a rabbit out of a hat and complete this insanely improbable, amazing, best finals run ever.
Ever.
The himification will be complete.
And didn't he try and copyright Jimmy Butler?
Jimmy Buckets.
Or Jimmy Buckets?
Yeah. And I want to see it happen. But yeah, that's what my heart says.
Yeah, my heart wants that too. My wallet wants it to go six so that I can win the points league and see the Nuggets win.
Okay,
because that's in play right now. Me and Jesse
120 score 129.
Yeah, something like that.
Okay,
but I wouldn't mind a 6 or 7 game series again. I know you're kind of
entertainment wise,
right? But your brain really seems to think, because we've been talking about potential bets, that it's going to be Nuggets in four, maybe five.
Correct. My brain
maybe
says, this is Nuggets are the much better team. Miami's magic will run out. Jimmy's dragged his team across the finish. It's kind of like what the Lakers did. It's like we beat every non-Nuggets team through like, you know, miracles / figuring them out / playing just well enough. And then you arrive at Jokic's doorstep and he just steps on you like a bag of poop. And he's like, no, none of this is going to work against
me. I'm 290 pounds. Yeah. What are you doing?
I'm unguardable. My team is so hot and playing in Denver is nearly impossible. And
true.
They're well rested. They're well coached. Like Miami's shenanigans might have worked against coaches that either have gotten fired since or
Coach Joe might
get fired soon. And they like were able to like intellectually figure something out.
Yes.
We're not favored, but we figured something out. I don't know if there's a figuring something out against Jokic.
No, I don't think so. I think Jokic has already figured everything out. So now you're kind of in second position. Watching Coach Joe Mazzulla answer questions like in between quarters on the sidelines and stuff, he really wanted to be Popovich and just give like one word answers. But it was like, sir, you have not earned the right to just say, play harder.
Yeah.
Doing well. We'll see. It's like, sir, you gotta be more charming than that, unfortunately.
Yeah, how much of coaching mid-game is just like, come on, keep going. We're expecting them to punch. This is their run. And how much of it is actually like, all right, in this next play, we're going to run this play, and you got to go zone, and after a made shot, do this, and after this.
I think the best coaches get that one play in. After that, it's just reminding everyone to box out, to hustle back on transition defense. But like, what are you? There's only so much you can do. The ball's moving in every direction. You know, like even when I call a timeout coaching the women's basketball team that I coach, when everyone's like jogging to the sidelines, I'm like, oh shit, it's my turn to talk. It's a lot of pressure.
Yeah, it's just, I mean, at the very least, you could be like, all right, take a break, take a breather.
Everyone get water. Yeah. Everyone get water is generally my yes. But Coach Joe got outperformed like that. That was a battle of coaches, and he got outperformed for sure.
Spo v. Joe.
Spo wins.
Yeah. But, like, people are forgetting, like, Miami almost had the biggest choke job in NBA history. Like, that what like, Miami's...
you're saying being up 3-0.
Yeah, and they lost three in a row, and including two at home. Like, this is that exact team. This is the team.
It's, what felt unprecedented about this one was that it's usually, like, the one seed would go up 3-0, and then this like underdog would just like find it within them to win three in a row. So it was like, this one almost felt like, even when it was 3-0, it was like, even Zach Lowe was like, this is the most probable 4-0 run that we're about to see when game four started. He was like, if there's ever been a team equipped to come back from a 3-0 deficit, it would be the Celtics. So it kind of almost felt like what we all expected.
Right. Like they were the better team, so they'll win four games before the other team.
Mm-hmm. But yeah. No, I don't know how Miami wins. Obviously, they have great wings, but I don't know how they win so many games with Bam on offense. He drives me mad. Bam Adebayo drives me mad on offense. Like,
well, he beat the Knicks, so like, did you notice anything there?
Yes, I noticed what I keep noticing. How do they keep beating all of us with Bam in the middle? Like, he has 5-foot bunnies, and he gets like a little nervous. Like, he just, his feet shuffle. He just chucks it up. Like, he just moves too fast. Like, I don't know. Does it not bother you? Because I feel like it's usually a one-way conversation of me being like, Bam's driving me nuts again.
Well, would you trade Bam for Julius Randle?
So I posed that on Twitter, and it seemed pretty 50-50. I don't think I would, honestly.
Wow.
He's a great defensive player. Like, he's awesome on defense.
Yeah.
But Julius is exponentially more skilled. He has a bag.
Yeah.
I feel like that was the one thing. Like, there's no bag Adebayo.
He's a bagless Adebayo. That's correct.
Bagless Adebayo.
Yes. He kind of feels like Dwight Howard. He has like one post move, and even that one doesn't work very well.
Well said. That's a great comp. That's a great comp.
But sometimes you want a defensive player of the year's caliber player in the middle, especially when you're going up against Nikola Jokic. It's like, maybe he can slow him down and limit him to 28 points, 12 rebounds, and 14 assists per game.
That's valid. What was that one bet you showed me, speaking of 14 assists a game, where it was like minus 20,000 odds? Was it just Jokic to lead the series in assists?
Yeah, total assists, Jokic to lead the series. If you bet $50, you'll win a quarter.
That's ridiculous.
Like, it's so much going to happen.
That's crazy. How do you... Can you bet the other side of that? Can you bet the field and get like equal, like bet a quarter and get $50?
Not the field, but there's like other players. Like, you can bet Bam Adebayo and it's like 12-1 or something.
When I saw that, I was like, my brain is broken. $50 to win a quarter. Imagine needing that quarter.
Literally the opposite of Bam Adebayo is Jokic. Like,
that's right.
He has every single move in his quote unquote bag.
It is
like,
so
if you
weird.
Leave him open at the free throw line, it's automatic, like Chris Paul. If you are underneath the rim, and he can take advantage of like a Derek White guarding him or a smaller player.
Correct.
Usually it's like, uh-oh, Bam has a small player on him, and he's like sort of short-circuiting, trying to figure out how to take advantage of it. No, Jokic will score, like Shaq. Just like, I'm too big, I'm too good, I'm too skilled, and it's going in.
And his like footwork is so crazy, like his floater game. Mm-hmm. Like, he's always sprinting down the court, and if he gets it, like, some big men can be a little clumsy when they like get it on like the cut. His floater is so soft.
Yes,
it just
so
goes
soft.
In every and single time. And you said it years ago. He plays water polo out there. And the more I watch him, it's like Yes, it's just always up over his head, one-handed, and it's like, well, what are we going to do with that? Like, yeah. And then he just drops it in.
And then also, if in trouble, he can always hit a 41-foot step back three over LeBron or AD. Like, you don't also have to be able to do that. Like, that's not fair.
Yeah. That's the hardest one to be like, do you practice that? Yeah. That's the one where I'm like, I honestly don't even know how he's able to do that one. Everything else, like, you can have great periphery and have great court vision and shoot the ball left and right. That could be his passing game, sure. But I don't know how he makes these 35-footers with a hand in his face and the clock at 1 second.
Soccer, like, that's just style, like, literally. Yes, right. His head.
Yes.
Yeah.
The arc, like, almost touches the scoreboard. Like, it just grazes the Jumbotron. Yes. Swish.
Yeah.
Swish.
And it's happened more than once. It's not like a miracle shot.
Correct.
Yeah.
He also has wing shooters everywhere.
He also is the best passer in the NBA.
Yes. And he is arguably the hottest player in the NBA, not physically, maybe physically, but on the court, Jamal Murray. Yeah. Like, Jamal Murray has been all the world. Like, he might be the best player in the playoffs. Right. Like, him or Jimmy Butler might actually be the best scorer, at least.
And it's like, okay, stop those two. Okay, so I'll give it to the other best shooter in the NBA, Michael Porter Jr.
Michael Porter Jr.
Okay, so we'll give it to our fifth option, KCP, who would be the best shooter on 28 other teams.
Sure, and if KCP gets into trouble, we'll bring in Bruce Brown, and he will drive you nuts. They are loaded.
Loaded. And then it's like, okay, let's leave Aaron Gordon open. That's what the Lakers said. Like, AD... Right. Don't guard Jokic. It's a waste of your defense. Like, he just vaporizes the defenders. There's no need to have AD on him. If you're going to vaporize someone, just vaporize Rui Hachimura. Okay.
Sure.
They're doing the same thing. They're not being able to guard Jokic. So AD is on Aaron Gordon, and we roam off Aaron Gordon. And then in game four, I should say, the one I went to, Aaron Gordon makes 21 points. 23
because they can, because they're all capable. Yes, none of them are like a B-minus player. No. They're all B and higher. Yeah. And it's when they're clicking. I mean, at the end of the season, when Coach Mike was just like, take a break, fellas, like, pretend you're bad for the final 10 games, it really caught me off guard. Because now when I'm watching that again, I'm like, oh, this is why you've been the number one seed all year.
Well, they haven't lost by more than 10 since early April when they were.
Is that true?
Yeah. Like, in the playoffs, they lost like Minnesota by like 5 or 6 in game four, like that desperate game that Minnesota needed to win. Then against the Suns got like really hot at home in those two games, and they won by like 4 and 7. Wow. And then they just swept the Lakers. They don't go down by more than 10, let alone lose by more than 10.
That's really interesting, because that feels like the same energy that the Heat have, because the Heat always feel like they're in it, quote unquote, in every game.
Yeah.
So I'm curious if this, I'm curious what you actually think, if this finals is going to be one, most games will be won by 5, or if Denver will have a couple of those just like third quarters where there's no coming back from it.
I would assume there'll be an avalanche coming, and it might be tonight, because Miami is hobbled, tired, and like they just like were so focused on Boston. Now they just have to like whip and play in Denver, which is already a hard, like, Denver first games at home are dominant because of the altitude and because of the adjustment. Like, to go from nothing to Denver is such a hard whiplash adjustment period. But then Miami's really good at game ones. They've won every single game one. They've stolen every single game one on the road, including
Milwaukee, is that true?
Including Boston, including the Knicks. They always win game one.
You are coming with interesting facts at 10:15 in the morning on game day. Well,
I'm thinking about this series, because I don't know whether to just shove all in. Like, I think the Nuggets will win in 4 or 5. That's plus money. You can make a lot of money if you just shove all, because I bet on the Nuggets to make win the West.
Yes, and that was an awesome bet. We need to give you your flowers on
great
that
bet.
One. You bet that a while ago.
February.
It was like plus 300.
February.
Yeah. Good job, bud. Like, no jealousy coming from me. That is a straight up pat your friend on the back. Good job.
Well, they were so good in February, and then it started to look not as good when they started like resting players. But like, I'm like, they're dominating. No other team is even in their stratosphere, and I kind of still think that.
Yes, I think you're right, and we're going to find out. But this game one, I always thought, and so it's interesting to hear they win all their game ones, is that Coach Spo would rather like lean off the gas pedal just a little bit and see what is the other team doing. Right. How can I analyze what the other team's doing and then prepare for it for the rest of the series? But to hear that they also just smoke you, it doesn't matter in the first game, my theory is completely wrong.
Yeah, it's also like, just like, you know, Spo's a very smart in-game adjustment. So like, whatever he's like, he's going to throw stuff at you that you haven't necessarily seen, that you haven't necessarily prepared for.
Yes, primarily Caleb Martin.
Yes, Caleb
Martin. He's just going to throw Caleb Martin at you.
Gabe Vincent and fucking Max Strus.
Dude, those three. That's literally the three where it's just like, good job, fellas. Way to do what D'Lo couldn't.
Yeah. And then you know, Duncan Robinson, Kyle Lowry, Bam, and Jimmy.
And now they're getting Hero back. What do you think about that? Game three.
I wouldn't.
Yeah.
I wouldn't.
I wouldn't.
I don't think that's great. Maybe there's like
messing with a good thing type energy. Like you got something going right now.
Yeah. I saw like a Draymond Green podcast clip that he sort of put it the right way. He's like, I wouldn't start him, but like maybe as a spark plug off the bench, like you're down 0-2 and
right
in comes Tyler Hero to start the second quarter, get the crowd into it kind of thing. Maybe he makes a few threes like Duncan Robinson style, but like to throw off the good mojo and rotations that you've had for the entire playoff run is probably too risky.
So you think it's more likely that Hero would play significant or slightly less than significant minutes if they're down 0-2 in game three rather than they're up 2-0 and now they have a little room to play with?
If they're up 2-0, like don't touch it.
Yeah. Do exactly what you're doing.
And don't get me wrong, I'm rooting for Miami. Like I want Miami to win. I think it'll be more fun and it'll be an amazing story, and Mike Malone kind of pisses me off, and so it'd be fun to watch him lose because of what he was saying during the Lakers series. Like, I don't dislike any Nuggets players, but Mike Malone kind of annoyed me.
Remind us what he was saying about the Lakers in the Lakers series.
They won game one, and then in between games one and two, he's like, nobody's talking about what we did, right? Nobody's talking about Jokic. Nobody's talking about us. And everyone's
it's
only
so weird
saying that Rui stopped Jokic. No, he didn't. He only played in six possessions against Jokic. Like, he didn't stop Jokic. And like, we should be talking about our team more. Like, kind of
it's
like
just
annoyed, petty, whiny underdog talk where it's like, no, you guys were the favorites, and people are talking about the Lakers because they always talk about the Lakers, and that's just how it goes.
And also, isn't like once you get to this level, isn't it we tune out all of the outside voices? You know, like, why do you care what anyone's talking about right now? You should just be results-oriented, Coach Mike. Like, who cares what narratives people are spinning? That should not affect you and what you're doing right now.
I think he thinks it inspires his team, but I think his team does not care. Like,
I think that's correct. Like, Jokic got the MVP on a horse.
Right. And they're like, Jokic, do you feel disrespected? He's like, I don't care what people are saying.
I don't care. Yeah. I don't care.
And Mike Malone's like, yes, you do. Like, get mad. Get into it. Like, get angry. And he's like, okay, whatever, brother. Like, have at it. Like, it's fine.
Apathetic MVP. He just doesn't care.
I was joking the other day. I'm like, it would be funny. It's like, even after he wins the finals, he's like, I don't care about this either. It's like, okay, so you just don't like about basketball.
I don't like this game. Yeah.
Sorry. When I said I don't care about winning MVP and winning the Western Conference Finals, I also mean it about the Larry Bird. All I care about is horse racing.
That was baked into this whole experience of I don't care about what I'm doing right now. I just don't care.
He's like, I'm awesome, but it's not like, you know, my favorite thing in the world.
No, and it shows kind of what he's playing. Yeah. Like, he just kind of shuffles down chords like, I don't care. I don't care.
I guess the one thing like Denver doesn't have going for it is like rim protection. Like, you can drive against the Nuggets seemingly, but it doesn't seem to affect it because they have one of the best offenses in the world.
That's it. Is it going to be, are the Nuggets going to finish with 114 points a game? Or is this going to be brought down to the Heat's level where it's going to be like 101 to 96 most games?
I can't imagine the Nuggets playing poorly. They are awesome. They are almost like KD on this Warriors level awesome. Like, that was historically awesome. This is like one notch below that.
And you credit their speed, their like their just ability to score both sides of the ball. Like, what is it exactly?
Jokic being one of the most unstoppable offensive forces, both scoring and passing, and then being surrounded by like 40% from 3-point shooters. Like, they built the perfect roster around Jokic.
Right. And one thing that Miami doesn't have going for them is, and this is something I really wanted to see more of in Boston, and Jimmy got it a little bit, was turnovers turning into transition buckets. Just like quick, fast points, because you have to have some of those against the 120 points you're going to get from Denver. Like, it can't all just be
points,
yes, you can't dribble the ball up for 8 seconds, you know, work your half court offense for another 10, shoot with 5 on the clock. If you don't score, like, the Nuggets are scoring in the next 6 seconds.
That's right.
You know, you got to keep up.
The Heat are also small. Like, Gabe Vincent is short and Max Strus is short and
Caleb Martin. I mean, they're all just
Like,
Kyle Lowry.
They need to guard Michael Porter Jr., who's like 6'10". Tall. Aaron Gordon, who's like 6'9". Tall. And like can jump out of the building.
Right.
Jokic, tall. Like, tall. These are all talls. And the Lakers tried to put like Austin Reeves on Michael Porter Jr. And he like treated him like an assistant coach in practice. Like, okay, you stand underneath me. I will jump so I can no longer see you. And I will...
Right. That's right. That's right. I'll jump till you go away.
It's like me trying to guard somebody who's 6'7". It's just, it's too small.
So let's pivot off the NBA Finals for a second. You mentioned Austin Reeves. What is he getting paid by the Lakers? And is it $35 million a year?
I don't think it can be. There's some sort of right. rule where it's like if a guy's undrafted or maybe a second round pick or later, that you can only offer him so much money after this 2 years that he's played. So I think the most the Lakers can offer him is something like 4 years. $50 million? 5-0?
That seems low.
Right, but then another team can offer him more, and the Lakers can match it. I don't quite understand the reasoning behind that, but that's what I've read. It's like another team can come in and offer him 4 years for $98 million.
Jesus.
And the Lakers can be like, okay, we'll match it, and we'll pay him that.
So do you think that LeBron James is taking Austin Reeves on vacation this year, this offseason, where it's like he wants to create such an like a impenetrable friendship with this guy that he's not even going to think about. He's like, oh, I want to stick around and be with my buddies. Like, yeah. If I'm LeBron, I'm definitely doing something like that, like making this guy feel so at home here.
Well, I think Austin already wants to stay. It's like the Alex Caruso thing. They're like, all right, pay me the most amount of money you can pay me. And when Alex Caruso said that, the Lakers were like, well, we can give you 4 for $40. And he's like, no, I'm just going to take more money from the Bulls. So really, right. LeBron should be whining and dining Jeannie Buss. I think I think from what I hear slash read slash the scuttlebutt is that the Lakers will just match anything because players like Austin Reeves are like a perfect fit next to LeBron and don't grow on trees and are like a perfect third to fourth best player next to LeBron and AD.
Was that his ceiling, would you guess, what we saw this year from Austin Reeves? Is that his ceiling?
I don't know. He just turned like 25, so I would assume he can get better, but he's already so skilled.
But he was amazing. It was great. He was like, yeah, it wasn't like there was like little moments of Austin Reeves being dominant. Like, it really seemed like he was performing at his peak. And sure, you can get stronger and maybe your shot can get more refined, yeah. But like what we saw was pretty probably close to what we could expect from him, right? Like, yeah, he's never going to be like a 28, 32-point scorer on
no,
the team or anything
he's
like
going to be
right?
like, if LeBron and AD are sitting, he can cook. Like, there's not a lot of players who can just, like, right. give him the ball as, like, an emergency valve. Like, Rui was really good at that, too. There's, like, 7 seconds left on the shot clock. All right,
yes.
Take the ball, Rui, and work your mid-post magic. And, like, Rui was playing well with that, and Reeves was playing well like that, and hopefully we get to keep both.
Do you want to keep, if you had to keep two, okay?
Yeah.
Those two, yep. And then we throw in Malik Beasley and we throw in Vanderbilt. Which two are we keeping?
Oh, you got to keep Beasley over Reeves.
Really?
No, definitely not.
Okay, yeah, tell me why.
I would go Reeves one, Rui two, yeah. Vando three.
Damn.
Beasley's just like a streaky shooter, and when he's not shooting well, it's not necessarily that great. But like you can find streaky shooters seemingly
in
anywhere.
The NBA.
Yeah.
So you would really... You think Rui has a higher ceiling than Vando?
I do, because Rui like showed the ability to sort of guard a center if necessary, because Rui's like kind of a big dude. He's like 6'9"-ish and like, you know, kind of stout. Vando is more like long and lean and fast, like trying to like chase Steph Curry or De'Aaron Fox. Both are useful.
Yeah. What is Rui costing you? And do you have to re-sign him or what's the deal?
Yeah, I think he's like a restricted free agent or a free agent as well. And there's like a 15 million ish per year number floating around for Rui as well.
Okay. And D'Lo, is he under contract?
D'Lo is not. And okay. there's sign and trade rumors. Like if the Lakers wanted to sign him and then potentially send him somewhere that could use him, like, I don't know, there's all these rumors like D'Lo to Miami for some other point guard, whoever needs shooting. D'Lo to
Atlanta?
Yeah, I already forget. For DeJounte Murray. Like any player that like
or Trae Young. I feel like Trae Young to the Lakers has been, you know, everything will become a rumor after this after this series is over, and then it just becomes rumor season for a while.
Yeah.
But Trae Young to the Lakers has already started to percolate on Twitter, it seems.
Yeah, Trae Young. I mean, like any time your ratings are low, you just say like, Yeah, Joel Embiid to the Lakers.
Kendrick Perkins, we need you to say this right now.
Yeah, sure. Lakers would like Joel Embiid, says an unrepped source. Great.
Right.
Yeah, D'Angelo is a straight-up free agent. He's anybody can offer him anything, and the Lakers can offer him anything. And
do you think that he gets, and I'll get off the D'Lo train in a second, but it was shocking to see how much he didn't even want to shoot, let alone, he wasn't just missing shots. It looked like he didn't want to shoot a lot of the time or have the confidence to. Do you think that he actually may have lost money for his next contract? Or do you think that his body of work has like leveled him off on a certain pay raise, on a certain pay scale?
Yeah. I mean, he did play really well in Memphis and Golden State. So like, he wasn't like not a playoff player.
But like, he had like 20 points against Denver.
Yeah, and against Denver, he was like, he just wasn't making it. I think he was shooting. Like, I remember in the game we went to, like, he missed a three and we got the offensive rebound and hit it right back to him. And he missed another three and was like, okay, he's kind of shook at this point.
Yeah, yeah.
But yeah, I think a team could talk themselves into like a 4 for 90 to 120 for D'Angelo Russell, just because he is, you know, a really good shooter and a really good passer. And you do need someone like that in the regular season. Like, the Knicks could use him, and they probably won't pay him that much money, but like...
No, please, please keep him away. Please keep him away.
He's left-handed. You guys love that kind of stuff.
That's true. Maybe he'll take a pay cut because he's left-handed.
Yeah. Like a team with great defense that isn't necessarily prolific offensively could use a D'Angelo Russell.
When LeBron, in his post-game conference, said, I have a lot to think about regarding next season, did any part of you believe that he was mulling retirement? Or do you think this is all calculated, keep me in the headlines, this is just a good way for people to keep asking me questions throughout the offseason?
I didn't even think it was that either. Like, the LeBron haters were definitely like, this is so fucked up, like, Denver just swept, and now you're making it all about yourself, and now the next day, I'm sure Mike Malone hated that.
Exactly. I'm sure Mike Malone...
Nobody's talking about us, everyone's talking about LeBron. But that lasted for about a day, and everyone's like, yeah, he'll probably come back. He's under contract 2 more years for $100 million.
Oh, my God.
Even if you have $800 million, $100 million is a lot.
Do you fear that his model of, I'm going to take off for the first quarter, will only grow next year, and he'll start shooting around like halfway through the third quarter of the playoffs next year?
Well, I'm hoping that he takes the first quarter of the season off. Like, there's really no reason for him... He was playing, not only was he the oldest player in the NBA by the end of the playoffs, he was not resting during the games. So he was like, he had to like rest while playing. And he also had like a foot injury. Like, even earlier this year, he looked very spry and was like dunking on his 38th birthday. So like,
right,
whatever was ailing his foot was not helping it out. And so like, if he could just time the regular season to like be in peak physical condition like they were in the bubble, obviously you're not going to be able to take 3 months off, but like... To do what Jokic did, where it's like play yourself into a good playoff position and then just rest for a little bit, recharge your batteries, and then play in the... Like, he was still our best player in game four. He had 40 points, 9 rebounds, and 10 assists or something like that.
And 47 minutes and 56 seconds or something like that? Like, he took four seconds. 4 seconds. Like, that's a joke. That's funnier than not resting at all. Like, I don't even know what 4 seconds... Was that, like, before the half? Like, how do you even take off 4 seconds?
Yes, like, oldest player in the NBA, also not resting, also still being dominant. Like, when he was driving, it wasn't like the old LeBron where he was, like, blowing by you and dunking, but it was still pretty efficient.
For sure. Yeah, the difference between the Nuggets and getting yourself to such a great position where you can actually slow down at the end is that they had the players to get them in first place... like up 10 games with 20 to go.
Yep.
And I'm not sure the Lakers do.
No, not first place, I don't think, but maybe like, you know, second,
third, top four. Fourth.
Yeah.
Right.
After watching these playoffs, I'm like, does home court advantage really matter that much? Like, we've seen two teams lose game 7 at home, so that's a huge advantage. We've seen countless teams just steal game 1 on the road, and now they have home court advantage. I don't know entirely who has like such a dominant, I guess Denver, but who else has such a dominant home court advantage that they can't lose it.
That's a good call. It really feels like one of the narratives this year was who's healthy, who avoided injuries. Like, injuries and like little even nagging injuries seem to be a bigger like a predictor of who is going to win the series ultimately.
Yeah, and also you want younger players that don't seem to get tired. Like, the more the Lakers played, I'm like, oh god, AD is very sluggish. Oh god, LeBron's getting tired. Oh god, like these players are slowing down. Where it's like Denver, it's just like, all right, bring in the next 25-year-old. Like, no, he's fine. And then there's also Jimmy Butler, who's 33, but plays like a 22-year-old. Why doesn't Jimmy Butler get tired? Does anybody know why Jimmy Butler doesn't get tired?
Well, history has shown that Jimmy Butler doesn't get tired until he does. Yeah. And when he does get tired, he's it's dead. Like, oops, the car's out of gas. Like, the car, he was putting along, and now it just can't move. Like, the image of him with, like, his elbows and forehead on the scorer's table in the bubble of just being completely exhausted is, like, stuck on my mind. Yeah. Like, that is such a... He literally gave it all. He yes. gives it all. So we'll see. I mean, and the Nuggets are going to make him run for 48 minutes.
Yeah.
So this isn't half-court basketball like the Celtics produce. This is going to be a completely different approach to scoring an offense.
All right, final prediction?
Final prediction, Nuggets in five.
Yeah.
Five, yeah. You know, like.
Six.
But everyone predicts all the time that the Heat aren't going to win. That's like, right. I remember before game one against the Celtics, like the TNT crew were all like, yeah, this is going to be like a five-game series. Yeah. The Miami has no chance. It was cute that they somehow got past the Knicks, yada, yada. And it was like, nope, wrong again, yeah. boys. They beat the Bucks,
yeah.
the number one team in the league. They beat the Knicks, a team that has so much depth, and the 25-year-olds that you're talking about that you can just keep rolling out. They crushed us. Like, let's not even get like cute with it. They crushed us. Then they went to Boston, a team that has Jaylen Brown, Jason Tatum, this team that is destined to win this year. Beat them at home in game seven.
Yep.
I mean, they are winners.
They're
so
winners.
You cannot discount them. It's
They're
as
not
simple
getting
as that.
Tight down the stretch.
No, they
They're
play to win.
Of yes. tight teams down the stretch.
And they win close games, which is why the Nuggets will win in four. Sweep. No chance.
I mean, it really might be that. Like, Miami might be the second best team in the NBA. They can beat any team easily.
Yes. Yes.
Except for Denver, who's the best team. And Denver
the best
can beat
team.
Their team.
But you pointed out, you sent what the Lakers versus Detroit odds were going into it. And it yeah. was like, weren't the Lakers like minus 700 and Detroit like plus 500?
Yep.
Like extreme favorite and extreme underdog Correct. Going into the series. And it ended with Detroit in five?
Detroit in five. Like they just, so. Kind of like what Miami will try to do is like put a fucking wrench in the gear of this offensive machine and mm-hmm. slow the game down to a halt and dominate. But Miami is not quite like that.
How so? What do you mean?
They're not a defensive powerhouse.
Right. They're not a defensive powerhouse, but they like play defense differently. Like they slow the game down. Like they might not be like creating stops. They're slow on offense, which like forces the other team not to be able to play as fast as they might want to.
Correct.
You know?
Yeah. I mean, they're good defensively, but they're not like historically amazing at defense.
We should mention, too, that you had a great bet that hit with the Nuggets winning the West. You also made a very... We realized going into the Eastern Conference Finals, I believe, that Miami was like plus 1,400 to win it all.
Yeah, it was 14-1 to win the finals before the Boston series.
And you were just like, they just need to win eight games for this. Like, doesn't this seem a little egregious?
Worth a $25 flyer on this random, maybe win 350. I don't see it happening, but it would be great if it did.
I know you don't. I know you don't, because all you're trying to figure out is how many games are Denver going to win in it, and your gut says four or five.
Yeah, I mean, we'll know more tonight. Even if Miami's close, I'm like, okay, maybe this is a series, but like, if Miami loses by 27 points tonight, it's like, oh, I see. We've come
right.
to the end of the road.
Yes, yes, yes.
You beat
Do you
Boston.
Have odds
nice.
On game one?
It was, I think Denver's favored by 9. It was kind of like...
Jesus.
Similar to what Boston was, though.
Would you take Miami with 9? With 9 points?
I guess, just for their ability to keep
it's a
it
lot.
Close. Yeah.
That's a lot of points.
Yeah, 9 is a lot. But like, you know, against Minnesota and Phoenix, I think in game ones they just won by like 20 to 30.
Mm-hmm. So we think Jokic guards Bam. Who does Jimmy guard? MPJ?
Yeah. He probably tries to guard Jamal Murray, or if they want to like save his energy on defense, like just stay in the corner on KCP, just like, you know, conserve your energy and help us offensively. I'm sure it'll switch a lot too. You know how Spoelstra right. does it. Zone yeah. sometimes, man to man sometimes.
Yeah. I can tell that I'm getting older because before each playoff series, I'm like, I'm just excited to see the matchups.
Yeah. And then the game starts, and I'm like, I don't know who's guarding anybody. Like,
oh, yeah. Switches galore. Pick and rolls galore. Yeah, like, it doesn't really matter.
Anybody. Like, we talk about the matchups in the zone. I'm like, I never know when the zone is happening, who's guarding who
right.
until it's like the last 4 minutes. And then I'm like, sometimes the stars guard each other, and that's fun. It's like, oh, Jimmy Butler is guarding Kevin Durant. That's exciting.
Yes, agreed. Well, it's still fun to see what the coaches wanted to happen
yes.
before the players determine what will happen.
I guess I'll try to keep an eye on that in the first, second, third quarter before there's 5 minutes left in the game and Denver's up 121-86 or something.
And Tyler Hero comes in game one, with still with a cast on his mitt.
He hit a three. He hit a fucking three. I mean, Denver will just exploit him defensively. Like, he's too slow to stay in front of any of these guys.
We'll see. We'll see.
Should be fun either way.
Can I give you one more line? Yeah. One more line for you to bet, and then we'll get out of here.
Yeah.
Over under buckets episodes in the finals. Mm. This one counts. Mm-hmm. This one counts. The line is 1.5 episodes. Would you take the over or the under?
Does an episode after the finals count?
It does not. In game episodes.
Under.
Under. Yeah. This is it.
Yeah.
Enjoy it while you got
3-1,
it.
3-1. What are we going to record an emergency episode?
What if it's 3-3? That's if we're going into a game seven, with that potentially.
Yeah. If it's going to a game seven, we got to fire something up. Or if there's like an exciting moment, somebody gets hurt. Miami's up 3-0, something crazy.
But the last time you said something crazy has to happen, we did not go near a Buckets episode.
Yeah.
Nothing crazy happened. Yeah. Your team got swept and we went to a game seven. Not crazy enough.
Okay. For more Billy, where can people hear more of you?
You know the game. I'm all over HeadGum. No Joke Podcast. You know it.
Hell yeah. I know it. You know it. The American people know it. And thank you for listening. We'll hopefully be back soon if something crazy happens. If not, we'll see you after the finals. And then the real season starts. July 3rd, the free agency period. The most exciting day in NBA history.
Wembanyama is coming. Dun, dun, dun.
Yeah, I wonder if he'll play Summer League.
That's what we'll find out. Hopefully we'll go.
All right, cool. Talk soon, everybody. Bye.
Bye.
That was a HeadGum Original.